By God's help, we're going to talk about hindrances. And we surely need His help. Our Father, we ask You that You will bless. We thank You, You have in the past. But here's another time. We want Your blessings. We ask You, Father, that You would make a special blessing for everyone. Dear Lord, we want You to help us when we're hindered in different ways. We need You today that nothing will hinder this message, and victory will be given in this service. We ask these blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hindrances. In 2016, had someone to prepare my taxes. They were to have the money that I owed taken out of my checking account. Well, I assumed that that had been taken care of, and I didn't take the time to read my bank statements, all of them. And I got a notification for the end of the year that I owed for my taxes. Called the bank. They had no record of any withdrawal along in that time. Something happened that hindered this individual getting that taken care of. I don't want that to happen again. Weather can be a hindrance. I was to take a flight from Oklahoma City to Baltimore, Maryland, then from Baltimore, Maryland over to Fort Lauderdale. That day, weather was bad in Oklahoma City. The flight I was to take had been diverted to Tulsa. And I was going to miss my flight to Baltimore to make my connection to Fort Lauderdale. Hindered. And finally we got to Baltimore, got on our plane, and they was having a mechanical problem. Another delay. Hindrance. Finally, we got to Fort Lauderdale. I don't know how much later, right now, that it was that we were to arrive, but we were hindered in getting to Fort Lauderdale. Vehicle trouble, car trouble. One Sunday out in California, her sister and I was going to go to Los Angeles for service. And we were in a borrowed vehicle, and we got on the Golden State Freeway. You've been on that one, haven't you, Brother Ron? Well, here we was Sunday morning going to church in Los Angeles, and the accelerator got stuck. And we were out of control. The sister didn't know. She was trying to have control, and it wasn't working. Finally, we hit something. And finally, the Lord helped us to get over to that area close to the center divider, the center. And here we was, while, a highway patrol lady come, and she come behind us. She radioed for help, and this patrolman got out and stopped every lane of traffic. They call it a sig alert. And we was able to get over to the side of the road. We didn't get to church that day, that morning. Did later in the day, but also, Brother Robert can probably relate to car problems that can hinder you getting to your destination. But the Lord helped us. It could have been more serious than what it was, how it turned out. You know, hindrances isn't just in literal things. Yes. Hindrances can be in spiritual matters. Yes. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, it says something about you didn't run well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? There is a parable in Mark, the 4th chapter, of a sower that went out to sow seeds. And as it was the same sower, the same seeds, he cast the seeds out. And there was a description of different soil that the seed fell on. One of them was where the thorns were. And that was described as those cares of life. And the deceitfulness of riches. And was it the lust of other things? So the cares of life can be a hindrance in spirituality. Yes. In the 10th chapter of Luke, tells about a woman named Martha. Remember about Martha? Luke, the 10th chapter, 38th verse. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, he didn't just say her name once. He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, Jesus has come to Martha's home. She received it, and then she went on to the kitchen and was preparing food. Martha was not enjoying what she was doing for Jesus. She was fretting. Have you ever tried to do something for the Lord and fret at the same time? But Mary. She was interested in spiritual things, and her and Jesus was enjoying each other's company. They didn't have air conditioning back in that time, and maybe it was hot in the kitchen, and Martha was just, can you imagine her just peeping out and looking at Jesus and Mary, and she's in there toiling and upset. And finally she decides she's going to go out and ask Jesus if he cares that she's left. And perhaps she's somewhat taken back at the way Jesus handles what she's asked him. And he said, Martha, Martha, you're discomforted about, you're overcharged, you're loaded up, and you're troubled about many things. You see, Mary was concerned in the things of the Spirit, and Martha was concerned about the flesh. And that is the way the enemy tries to make inroads, is through our flesh to hinder us. Have you ever been trying to have prayer in the telephone? Has it happened to you? Hindrances. Jesus was able to take care of Martha and put Martha in her place. And instead of condemning Mary, she got the admiration of Jesus. She has chosen the good part. Martha, you didn't choose the good part, but Mary did. So the hindrance to spiritual things is real. And when God calls people into working for him, there can be great hindrances. In the case of Nehemiah, God put it in Nehemiah's heart what he wanted Nehemiah to do, and that is in Nehemiah the second chapter. The Lord wanted Nehemiah to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls that had been broken down. In the 11th verse it says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do. Now this is all important. It's what God puts in your heart to do, whether it is to sweep the floor, whether it is to hand out tracts, whether it is to put a roof on a widow woman's home. What God puts in your heart to do, the enemy is going to oppose that. He's going to try to hinder what God wants you to do. And so Nehemiah had this in his heart. to accomplish what God had put in his heart to do. But did he find himself in very difficult circumstances? There were people that objected to his call from God. And as a result, they tried to do what they could to discourage him. The work was laughed at. There was opposition, and the burden bearers, their strength waned away, and they were, it tells about how, and our adversaries, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Hindrance to the work of God. What God had put in Nehemiah's heart, these that objected was determined that that was not going to be happening. And so they tried in different ways to discourage. They even had a conspiracy against it. The burden bearers got weary, and their strength was waning away. And there was a threat of attack. But Nehemiah was a praying man, and he was not giving up to the hindrances that was to be so much pressure, and they was even working and not even taking time to have their clothes washed. Remember that?
Yes.
Wasn't they working with one hand and a spear in the other? And they meant business that they weren't going to allow any kind of hindrance to stop them from what God had put in Nehemiah's heart to do. And so they kept on and they kept on and they kept on, and they wanted him to leave the work and come and have a conference, and who knows what they had all in their mind. They might have thought they could do away with him. But he was not going to come down. He says, I'm doing a good work, and he stayed with it. Can you imagine him saying, hand me another brick. Get some mortar over here. We're going to get this wall up. And they did. They didn't allow, Sister Maxine, those hindrances to stop them from what God put in Nehemiah's heart. So if God puts something in your heart to do for him, whether it's preach, whatever, sing, don't allow anything to hinder you. Just keep on going. And they got it done.
Yeah.
In 52 days, didn't they have the wall complete? So the hindrances. And you know what? The old devil wants to hinder people from getting saved. He'll tell them all kinds of things and scare them out of it or whatever he can do to keep people from getting saved. King Agrippa was almost persuaded, but there was something in Agrippa that hindered him. The rich young man had come to Jesus. Oh, he come and wanted to know what he could do to inherit eternal life. And he was rich, he was selfish, and he wasn't about to give up his possessions. And he went away sad. His flesh wanted to keep the possessions more than he wanted eternal life. And he went away sad. No recording that he ever did change in any way. And he went away sad. The enemy of your soul and my soul today wants to hinder us and stop us from getting to heaven.
Yes.
In basketball, they have what they call a full court press. At least they used to. I don't follow it now. I sometimes hear about some teams, but after a team makes a basket, the other team gets the ball out of bounds. You that know something about basketball. So this team player has the ball, and there's 10 seconds, is it, to get it over? Anybody know? Anyway, you got to get the ball over this. Yeah, I think it's 10 seconds. It used to be. So, over here, you got a man that don't want you to get the ball over here in 10 seconds. He's throwing his arms up. And he can even trash talk. Hey, you're not going to get that ball over there. And it can rattle the man. Well, he finally gets the ball over here to this, his team man. But there's a center court. And you got to get the ball over this in a certain amount of time. The goal is get it up here to one of your players so they can get you 2 points. Or if you're fouled, maybe get 3. So there's pressure put on this man here. And sometimes in the hurrying and the pressure and the press rattles it enough. They used to say in UCLA, Dr. Nalda knows about UCLA, take it away, take it away. That means get the ball. And a lot of times they did years ago. They was very successful in getting this pressure on the players till they did get the ball. And the pressure's so great that the other team numbers of times would fail to get it in here. Hindered. The enemy of your soul and my soul wants to hinder you from making heaven. And he knows your weaknesses, and he knows how to pressure you into doing something that could injure you spiritually and that you would fail to make heaven. We have a brutal enemy that is out to destroy every soul that he can. And he is out to hinder you in being useful for God and also hinder you from getting to heaven. Well, good news. There are those that have refused to allow hindrances to stop them from doing the will of God. One of them is Daniel, one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. Well, in fact, the whole Bible. Daniel. I talked about the prayer a while ago about the telephone. He had a threat on him greater than any telephone. He had the threat of a law made by a king, yes, that if you ask any god or anyone, man, within a mat, it was a 30 days, that you will be put in the den of lions. And so the king found out Daniel hadn't stopped his prayer. He knelt the same. Could that have been a hindrance? And Daniel was a busy man. He was prime minister. But he took time, 3 times a day, to pray and keep in contact with his God. This threat, this law that was made, the king carried it out. And Daniel was put into the den of lions. But he did not allow a law to keep him from praying. His relationship with God meant more to him than his life. And he wouldn't stop praying. He didn't know that God was going to send an angel and shut the lion's mouth. But he continued to pray. He did not let that hinder him in his prayer life. Outstanding? Yes. And he maybe rested better than the old king that night. And when the day began to come, the king wanted to go and check on Daniel. Yes. He didn't really want to put him in there, but he had signed the law. And when he found out that Daniel was still alive, he was brought out of that den, and God was honored, and so was Daniel. Yes. He didn't allow anything to hinder him. I read a tract about Cuff. You may have read it. He was a slave. And his master had stated that Cuff was a praying man. And his master was told that that was the one fault he had. And so his master decided, I'll change that. And so Cuff, at the hand of his master one day, was beat severely. His master trying to get Cuff not to pray. He was beaten. No, it hurt. They used to use switches on me, and they hurt. I could feel it. It hurt. But Cuff had more than switches. And it hurt him, of course. But that night, the master, Cuff's owner, had some problems. And his wife was aware that something was going on. And she wanted to know, do you want me to call the doctor? No. He wanted somebody that prayed. Yes. They sent for Cuff. When they got to Cuff, he was praying. And you know who he was praying for?
Yes.
His master. So he went to the master. The master didn't have a whip in his hand then. He wanted prayer. While they were there together, God saved the master. No more beatings for Cuff. The master had his arm around Cuff. And Cuff wasn't a slave anymore. They went out in the gospel work together. The master wanted to hinder Cuff's prayer life, but he refused. Good news, Jesus didn't allow anything to hinder him from his mission. He was despised. He was rejected. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. It tells about it in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. It tells what Jesus. He was, third verse of 53rd. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We had turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he smitten. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He was spit upon. He was put through a trial. He was slapped and hit to the point that his visage was marred. He didn't look like Jesus. His visage was marred from the slapping and the beating that he had in his face. He was put a crown of thorns, not like a crown that Queen Elizabeth wears, but a crown of thorns. And those thorns was an inch or inch and a half long. And then it would beat on that, and it would go down to the outer skull. He was led with a cross upon him and the weight and what he had went through. He staggered and fell. Somebody carried the cross for him. He was taken and he laid his life down on that cross. Those people, those Roman soldiers, was not gentle probably when they put that cross down into the earth, tearing and ripping his body. But he did not allow that to hinder him from doing his mission and dying for. And they told him, come down, come down.
Yes.
But he didn't come down. He didn't come down. Oh, no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called him to set him free. But he laid on the cross for you and for me. Nothing that they did to him, fault find, called him name, nothing they did caused him to stop and not fulfill his mission for the dying of mine and your souls. And they beat him. They beat him with, they didn't use switches either. They used something that would tear into his flesh. He was beat down his back. He said, by his stripes are we healed. He didn't allow anything to hinder him from accomplishing the will of God. Oh, may we, who claim to be Christians, claim to be saved, maybe don't say we're Christians, but that we're saved, may we be able to do as he did. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book is written to do thy will, O God. May we not allow things that hinder. People can allow things that hinder them from getting to services.
Yes.
And perhaps some of it's like Martha, doing something for the flesh. I'm not saying there is times that there's legitimate reasons for not making it, but well, Brother Marty told about the peanut butter story. Somebody didn't come to church and they asked this person about it. And he said he ran out of peanut butter. And one excuse is as good as another. May God bless that whatever life throws at us, that we won't allow that to hinder us from getting to heaven. We gotta make it. The consequences is too serious to miss heaven. We must make it. The pain, the agony, the distress for eternity. We must make heaven. We must be desperate to get there. May God help us today that we will, through His power, be able to overcome every hindrance. Maybe you have hindrances in your life. People can even be hindered, perhaps in old age. But may God bless us to be able to make it.